Welcome back to Baltimore Positive WNST. Nobody more positive than this guy, my next guest, the legendary Nestor J. Aparicio. Nestor, welcome in.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
I'm about to enter a new category at Baltimore Positive. I
Come on.
actually named it Remember That Time.
Ah.
And it's sort of like I'm getting to this storytelling part of my as the silver rolls in, as you're well aware. And it's summertime and I've done a ton on the Ravens. You and I did like a full treatment of what's going on there, and they're going to take the summer off and they'll be back and they don't play football till September. Meantime, the Orioles are going to play 100 games between now and then that matter, right? So people say, yeah, you got Orioles fever or whatever. I haven't even been down to the ballpark since opening day. So I'm looking forward to getting down there. I'm watching West Coast, all that. So, and I've done that with you and going back to the ballpark and the pitching and Luke and all. So we've done all of that. And a couple of things have happened sporting wise in recent times that's just sort of like been a gut punch and a little bit of a reality check for me and where I am in life's highway. And I guess it's sort of celebrity deaths that do this to me. And
Okay.
whether it's seeing Tina Turner pass as I drove literally through the Lincoln Tunnel, which is where I met her and asked her a question in 1986, like, and then being at Bryan Adams the other night and having him sing It's Only Love without Tina Turner. And then being at that arena, being at CFG Bank Arena. And when I think of everything I've ever done there, like I like every celebrity I've met, Steven Tyler, Paul Stanley, Jon Bon Jovi, interviews I've had with, I mean, any hockey player, you name it, right? All these interactions I had in that arena, I still think of the most momentous memory that I have there of being seeing superstar Billy Graham
Ah,
and Bruno Sammartino, right?
yeah, that was good
So
stuff back in the day. That was great stuff.
I don't think I ever walk in there. I mean, I walk through that arena and I saw Mark, who's worked there for 50 years. I think he was backstage the night I met Aerosmith in 1984. And he's got a blazer on now and a walkie-talkie. He's part of management with Frank down there. And when he asked me, "Hey, what do you think of the new place?" And I'm like, "Well, the French fries look good. I know it's easy to get a beer." He even told me I had a water. I was like, "I'm going to go buy a couple of waters." No, you get free refills. You buy one water and we have like there's free water now. You just hit the pump. It's like the airport. So I go down there and I showed my wife where Mr. Pete hid me the night that Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and Sequence came in 1981. I was like 12 years old and I loved rap music. I loved Sugar Hill Gang at the time and I wanted to see them do their thing. And Master G is supposed to come on the show soon. So I'm
Okay.
really excited about that. They opened the Hip Hop Hall of Fame down in DC. So I'm hoping that that he could, and I'm not a big hip hop fan, but I love Sugar Hill Gang.
They started the whole thing, right? They
And Run
were it.
DMC and yeah,
They
Beastie
but
Boys, all
Sugar
that.
Hill Gang was that was the
Sugar Hill
song
Gang was the beginning. That was it.
beginning,
Rap,
yeah.
Rapper's Delight. But now what you hear is not a test.
Correct.
So, and my wife always thinks it's the funniest thing in the world that I can rap the whole song. Like she's like, you could do that on a show.
That's good
So,
stuff.
but here's the rub on all this. This week, the Iron Sheik dies, right?
Really, I missed that. I've had my head in the sand. I've been busy at work. Are you serious? We lost the Sheik?
We lost the Sheik on Wednesday,
Oh man, I love
Dennis.
his Twitter account. My
Dennis, are
gosh,
you how many cars are you selling out
a lot,
there?
a lot. Apparently, a lot. I've had my head in the
I thought
sand.
it was the end of the month that was a problem, not the beginning of the
Oh,
month
look,
for like your intention.
every day for us is the end of the month. And I mean, I didn't even know about that haze from Canada until late Wednesday
Okay, so
evening.
you had your head in the sand Tuesday. It's fine. Like I go away,
Okay.
I miss things.
So
I
when does she
missed the whole
this
Bruno Mars at the Preakness thing and embarrassed myself a couple of months ago. I didn't know he was coming.
It's funny. A lot of my friends went Wednesday night to he was down at the National Harbor. So I had a
Bruno
bunch.
was.
Yeah, so I had a lot of my friends. He did an hour and a half set down there. It's a phenomenal
He
concert,
takes your phone away.
which I think is great. I
Yeah.
don't know why. I don't know if his reasons are genuine. And he says he wants us to focus on the music and not be distracted. But you know what? When I went to the Eagles concert, there was some people in front of me, and they were like FaceTiming and putting stuff in social media that was standing the whole time. It took the fun out of it for me. So,
I think that the whole part of don't be a jerk that David Modell coined for concerts, right? Like, I went to see Mellencamp last week. Mellencamp is, Dennis, he's a prick. He'll
is it
yell at the
really?
fans.
That
I
right?
watched him throw somebody out at the Lyric the last time I saw him play.
Why?
Literally stopped the show and threw somebody out of the room.
Why?
Like, he's just really into don't distract the show. There's a whole, he's got a really weird people thing where he doesn't
Okay.
look at people,
Didn't
and
know that.
like, yeah, he's really cranky,
Okay.
really cranky.
Okay.
And he has signs up that, like, literally all over the theater that say, don't misbehave in the theater.
Gotcha. But
And
I've
I
seen
haven't been to
Bruno.
a concert where people have behaved well in recent time. I have not been to a concert where somebody's not being a jack wagon and talking during a slow song.
Yeah. But I did enjoy that about Bruno when I went last year. He did take away our phones, and I was okay with it. I was okay just focusing on the music, dancing, clapping, the whole nine yards. It was great.
He took my phone and my wife's phone. We were up in the upper deck down at National Harbor a year and a half ago
I think we went the same time.
on the Crab Cake Tour,
It
and it
was
was
great.
he's great. I mean, we stood in the rain and watched him play 5 weeks ago.
Ah.
My wife would go see it again. She didn't want to pay $400 to see it, but she would love to see it. For a buck and a half, we would go do it again, you
I
know?
scored some good tickets a year and a half ago. We sat six rows back. So we were like right there. But there were people coming up, rushing the aisles. But it was okay for us. But at
I took
least.
my wife to Philly, and we had like fifth row in Philly about 4 years ago, because during when she was ill, my wife was really ill in 14 and 15. That's when he was like playing the arenas and selling them out. It was
Gotcha.
$300 sitting on the roof, and then she got better, and I wound up scoring. And we didn't spend like a lot of money. I mean, it may have been a buck and a half. It wasn't crazy because the craze was kind of over on him in the
Right,
arenas, and we wound up just with a magic night in Philadelphia at the
Yeah,
hockey
we're
rink. It
good.
was like, yeah, so like. But I wanted to, speaking of magic nights in Philadelphia, I remember seeing Bob Backlund wrestle. I saw the Iron Sheik wrestle at the Spectrum. So we lose the Iron Sheik on Wednesday,
Ah, oh, didn't know that,
right?
man.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Bummer.
Man, now I'm going to let you react to that. I didn't realize you didn't have a
That's
reaction
a
to that.
bummer. I mean, come on. Like I said,
But
his
the
Twitter
super, we
account was
lost superstar
gold.
Billy Graham too,
Yes.
right? And I start to think, like, this is something that I really share with you. And Luke, even though he's a little bit of a, half a generation behind us in regard to Hulk Hogan and in regard to wrestling.
He missed out, didn't he? I mean, that was talking about a golden era, right? I mean, because back then there was nothing else to watch on a Saturday at 4 p.m. on
When
UHF.
I think about like seeing Hulk Hogan wrestle at the Capitol Center before he was alive, like the first, so this is what I wanted to talk about was wrestling and the impact that like, you're a Ravens guy, you're a Colt guy. I've been an Oriole guy, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Wrestling's changed dramatically,
Ah.
right? From it's real and there's Ivan Putski, and oh my God, Greg Valentine really, broke
Broke his
Chief K.
neck.
Strongbow's leg. Like, the whole deal, right? So, and wrestling stuff pops up because I think Luke uses our Twitter in a wrestling, he follows wrestling stuff. So it just pops up in my world. It pops up on my Facebook. This whole like Tales of the Ring that they do on Vice, that pops up. So I'm a mark for old school wrestling stuff, but I like the modern era and Marvez and AE, like I'll never watch it again. I'm not into it. I'm not interested in it. But there is something about superstar Billy Graham dying and something about the Iron
Oh
Sheik
yeah.
dying
Oh,
that has
sure.
made me go get my ticket stubs. Friends of mine are putting pictures up from the Civic Center, okay, that they took with their cameras in 1986. Of Sergeant Slaughter bloody in the ring and the Iron Sheik stalking him behind him. Like when I think of the arena and I think of sports and I think of my childhood, I think of my mother and father, and I go down to the arena with my wife to see Bryan Adams and Joan Jett, which I did. It was unbelievable. I think of wrestling and I think of being there. And I think of Junkyard Dog. His birthday was the other day. I met him outside the backstage door when Georgia Championship Wrestling came with Kevin Eck because we loved wrestling. Like we loved wrestling. And to see these guys, to lose these guys, it's moved me in sort of a strange way because I go back to that place. I go back to the arena now to see Bryan Adams. Thank you to Frank and CFG Bank and anybody down there that is a part of making that something we can do that I can get in the car and in 15 minutes be downtown, park my car, get great food, walk in and see Bryan Adams and Joan Jett. And I paid $50. It was phenomenal. But wrestling is the middle of all. Stan Stasiak and Bruno, the first time, hooked me in, man.
Well, that's my connection to my dad, God rest his soul. You know, he was a huge wrestling fan. He thought it was real. He was a tough, tough guy. He used to cry, though, like when Chief J. Strongbow broke his leg, he used to cry. Oh, the poor guy, his poor family. I'm like, Dad, it's not real. He was convinced, and he and I, right before he passed away, we sat ringside. I got tickets. We saw Vader against Hulk Hogan, and he's leaning over the rail. He's high-fiving Hogan. He's high-fiving Vader. Probably the best memory I have with my father. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. So that's
Did you
my
get pictures of
connection.
that night or no?
I don't have pictures, no. But we,
I
so
don't have
we,
a lot of pictures of my dad. And I mean, we didn't
yeah.
take a camera to wrestling
Yeah,
matches. We didn't take a camera to Orioles
no.
games. I mean, my dad and I went to 1,000 Oriole games. I don't have one picture of me and my dad at Memorial Stadium. Yes, I do. Louis Aparicio's in it because we took a picture with
There you go.
my. So I do have a picture underneath, right outside the Hit and Run Club in the Bird Feed Room. There you go.
No, but see, my dad had never been to a live wrestling match. This was his first one. So we're walking down, and you know, he's got his cane with him, and he's like, "We got good tickets." I said, "Yeah, we got good tickets." So we get down within 10 rows. He goes, "Better tickets than these, better seats." I said, "Better seats." So he was in. When I sat him
So
down,
your dad never took you to see Bruno. Like
no, I
your
took
dad
myself.
loved it on television.
Exactly. I had to wait until I was old enough to get tickets myself, and I took him to the arena, and I'm telling you, he was misty-eyed when he sat front row. The very first seat when they were coming in, and it was the best memory I still have to this day of my dad. So my connection with the Iron Sheik and Bruno and Hogan and Vader and all these guys and superstar Billy Graham, they're right there for me as well.
So it came to me naturally because of the block I was on. The Elliott brothers were knuckleheads and they loved the Valiant brothers and the Executioners and the bad guys and like all that. And so it came to me in 1976, 77. I'm in elementary school, into Fonzie, into Kiss, into Aerosmith, into disco, into girls, into Farrah Fawcett. You know what I mean? Like I'm an 8-year-old kid
Do you have a
and
poster, the Farrah poster hanging on your wall?
Every come on, man. Of course I did. You know, I had her on the t-shirt
We
in
all
Ocean
did.
City.
We all did.
I the iron on in Ocean City. So with my cousin Alex. So I would just say like the wrestling thing hit me and I had seeking the magazines and I tell the story of Drug City is our sponsor. I tell George Fotis, another great Greek American in on the east side of town. I tell him all the time, my parents, I would make them bring me over here to get the wrestling magazines that I couldn't get in Highland Town.
Right.
And in Highland Town, there was Paper Doll, who Johnny Allen, my dearest friend, rock star John Allen, his uncle Marty owned Paper Doll. They had baseball cards, they had smoker magazines, Playboys, rock and roll stuff. They probably had Roach clips and like all that kind of stuff in the day, but they definitely had wrestling magazines. And you could get the wrestling magazines at
Yeah.
Whitey's Newsstand on Broadway. On Broadway, Whitey's was at Broadway, maybe Lombard. Only place you could get wrestling magazines in Highland Town at Marty's place. There was a Wawa back on like a tiny little one back on Highland Avenue near where Chaucer is, but Drug City. And I had to get it all, right? I mean, I had to make it happen. And every month, and then my aunt Clara subscribed me to Ranger Rick. After that, some National Geographic. She wanted me to be a hunter and a fisher. I mean, they were kind of, rednecks from South Carolina, my mother's family.
I'm thinking Ranger Rick. I don't remember that wrestler. Let's go ahead.
This was nature. This was
I
like
got you.
Smokey the Bear.
I'm
Like,
thinking Ranger Rick. I never heard of
she
that.
wanted me to gut fish, shoot bears, go hunting in the woods, wear camo. Never was into that, right? So finally, she gave
Thankfully.
in like 1979. And like got me wrestling subscription and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. She got me a subscription to The Wrestler
Oh,
and
yeah.
Inside Wrestling. Do you remember the Apartment House Wrestling? You remember all that? So
Sure.
Kevin X, His picture in 1975, he was one of the kids who had his pen pal. His picture is in a wrestling magazine with Billy Graham on the cover. And
Oh, God.
like before I knew Kevin. So Kevin and I went to the matches and he came into my life in 1979, Kevin Eck did. But I was way into, I was there the night Bruno lost the belt. I mean, like all of that era. And it when the Iron Sheik and Superstar Graham die in the same month, it just like,
Yeah, well, I hear you.
I mean, like, yeah, as much as Tina Turner and movie stars and rock stars and and I did a piece this week with Will Graves. I want to promote it because it was such a great piece. He's a Marylander from Waldorf who covers Pittsburgh sports for the Associated Press. He is an encyclopedia of sports. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a cancer survivor. He's a wonderful guy. He did a long segment with me about Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and I'm like, all your heroes are dead in Pittsburgh. Like Clemente, Stargell,
Sure.
those they just lost Franco Harris. I'm like, we're so blessed here, right? Jim Palmer's on TV every night. Brooks is still alive and doing well. And Cal Ripken. I said, that's the beauty of baseball coming back to life here is we still have our heroes
It's true.
sort of kind of here. And we lost Bruno last year, and Dusty Rhodes is gone. And every time I see Hulk Hogan, it looks broken down and the lawsuit and all the
Does.
awful stuff that's going on with him. But I just wanted to give a little oxygen to wrestling here with you. And
Wrestling,
I'm sorry
good
you didn't know
stuff.
about the Iron Sheik,
I
man.
did not know. I mean, it's just again, I've been very busy. Like I said, I've missed current events the last couple of days. The last 48 hours, I've been out of it.
Well, I would also say this for wrestling and every memory I have. I high-fived Andre the Giant when I was a boy, over the rope, right? I saw Ric Flair and Harley Race wrestle for an hour at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis with my family in 1983. Baron von Raschke was on that card. Dusty Rhodes was there that night. I have pictures of Hulk Hogan walking into the arena and Ric Flair getting out of his limousine. Woo! And when I think of like wrestling terminology, he's a mark, jabroni, The Rock, and what The Rock represents. And man, I saw The Rock's father and grandfather both
Of course you
wrestle
did.
at the
Sure.
arena, right? I mean, I saw the High Chief, Peter Maivia. I've interviewed The Rock several times. All that's and if The Rock sat down with me right now, I would talk about the High Chief with him.
Sure.
I would
He would
talk about
enjoy
going to
that.
wrestling matches. So, like, I loved wrestling, and when these things happen, when I was a boy in 1978 or 79, and I sort of famously shared that video I did with John Buren. So you want to be a sports guy? Chris Ealy won a competition. Moeler
I
actually got
remember
on
that.
television,
Yeah, I
right?
remember that.
I have a tape of it and like all of that. I wrote a story at the paper. It was 1988, but in 1979 or 80, they did. Might have been Randy Blair. It might have been Klaus Wagner. I'm not sure. It was one of those guys. It was after Nick Charles at Channel 13. Somebody will remember all of this ish, all of this, right? I wrote on a postcard why I wanted to meet a hero, right? So you want to meet your sports hero. And they were looking for postcards. You might want to meet, I don't know who it would have been in 1980. It might have been Brooks Robinson. Or everybody met Brooks. He was hanging around town. Everybody met Johnny Unitas in Baltimore. You've already done it. You could go get beer from Jim Parker, right? But I wrote a postcard to Channel 13. Never heard back. One of those things where it's like it was kind of like the Christmas story, the Ovaltine thing, but I wrote that I wanted to meet the American dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Ah, very nice.
So that was my dream, to meet the American dream.
There
I
you
never
go.
met Dusty Rhodes. I never met Dusty Rhodes.
What a
Yeah.
performer he was, too.
Now
Absolutely.
I now Ric Flair and I had 20 minutes alone in the room that's now the lounge underneath the CFG Bank Arena, on the side where the press entrance was. Ric Flair went into a room with me with promoter Gary Juster in 1984 5, and in his full regalia, he had his robe on. And he sat with me and did sort of a serious interview because I was writing a story for the paper. So it wasn't in character, but it was a getting to know who Ric Flair is because they were trying to sell tickets, right? They were trying to
Sure.
get the NWA promotion over, the Georgia Championship Wrestling promotion over in Baltimore. And Ric Flair, and I have a notebook And Ric Flair wrote an autograph to me with warmest personal regards, Ric Flair, and he dated. And it's dated like summer of 85. I still
Crazy.
have the
Yeah.
autograph.
Yeah.
I also did that with Bob Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter was on the card, and he came in and did a very straight, "My name's Bob, good to meet you," and talked to me because I was doing a piece about wrestling catching on. Hulk Hogan's in the WWF. They're doing Saturday Night, Cyndi Lauper, like all of that. So this was a serious piece. I might have been doing it for the News American. It's before I
Okay.
went to the Sun, which was 86. So probably 85 that I did this. But like, I just have these great, great memories. Bruno Sammartino agreed toward the end of his life. I want to say this is maybe in the aughts. He was well enough and he had a promoter in Pittsburgh. We were going to fly him in to do an Italian dinner at Amici's. And Dennis, this will break your soul. I didn't sell enough tickets. I tried my ass off. I ran an ad in the paper.
That's
Like,
crazy.
I yelled on the radio and, like, literally, and it was, $40 come have dinner, meet Bruno, and eat meatballs at Amici's. Like, literally, and I couldn't get 100. Like,
That's
we
crazy.
really wanted to do it, and I wanted to give it a chance. And at that moment, and I guess the local promotion that Kevin Eck's been a part of, and we've had the fellas on from up in Harford County. They do such a great job, and Dan and all those guys, McDivitt, all those guys have been on the show. He brought JR, Jim Ross to my home, and my wife had cancer. Jim Ross sat on my couch in my home for 2 hours and told stories and sold barbecue and told great, great wrestling stories. And so I have such a connection to the old school wrestling. And so I just wanted to ramble on your
Good
show a couple
stuff.
of minutes about
Well,
wrestling,
good. Well, good stuff. I'm glad you did. I'm glad
because
you
it's
did
my
it too.
connection to my parents too. My
Yeah.
parents equally love wrestling. My dad and mom, it was never one or the other. They both wanted to go to the wrestling matches. And here's something maybe you didn't know, or maybe you do know this. The tapings in the 60s were in Baltimore, right? Like,
Didn't know
Baltimore was
that.
an epicenter for Gorgeous George, right? You knew
Not
that.
know that. No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so my parents in the 50s would go, and they said it was like, and please, if anybody can correct me or anybody hears this piece, old schoolers and people that buy cars from Dennis, not even in my audience, but your audience, Dennis, that remembers going to Park Circle. And there was a studio there, a TV studio there, in some way that Gorgeous George wrestled. And this is the most important thing that my audience, and I know this is true, and I've had people recount this to me at some point in the 60s. The Teamsters Hall on Halliburton Avenue, or excuse me, Dundalk Avenue, correct that, Dundalk Avenue, across from the circle. So we're talking like where the Dunkin' Donuts was. In O'Donnell Heights, on the O'Donnell Heights side, there's a building there that was a Teamsters Hall that they used to have some like bull roast and oyster fest out in the backyard right across from the circle that they had wrestling matches there. And Bruno wrestled there and Bobo Brazil wrestled there at a period of time in the 60s after Park Circle, but before McMahon and like when the Baltimore Civic Center started hosting the cards. So, anyway. There's a little wrestling history there. I know Ron Cassie or somebody can, we'll spend a nickel going and chasing the stories, but this is a town with deep, deep wrestling history. Kevin
It
Eck
is.
knows more about wrestling than anybody I know, but anyway, I wanted to lay that on you. So wrestling
Good
today,
stuff. Good
that's my
stuff.
topic today.
Hey, always appreciate your insight, Nestor. Your walking, talking, living, breathing encyclopedia when it comes to all things that are sports, particularly wrestling. And I'm very grateful to have had this segment with you. With that, we'll take our next break here, 1570 AM WNST. Take a quick break. Be right back right after this.